So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Today's show is sponsored by Calamos Investments. Here's Anna DeVlantis with Your Money Matters.
Anna DeVlantis in for John Hansen today. I mentioned at the top of the show that NBA star Giannis Antetokounmpo has teamed up with Calamos Investments, the investment firm here locally. And it's interesting because they rang the closing bell on Wall Street together just a couple weeks ago. And it was a super cool moment for everybody. Members of the team from Calamos were there. Giannis was there. And you might say, well, why? Why did that all happen? And it's for a really important reason. April is Financial Literacy Month. And Giannis is part of a fund. He's teaming up with them for this fund that actually helps fund money for financial literacy in a way that also invests money and makes money for folks. So it's a great tool, and we'll get into that with Calamos at some point. But right now, I'm with John Campbell, Chief Wealth Strategist and Head of Wealth Planning at Calamos Wealth Management. And thank you for being with us, John. It's good to see you.
Anna, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Financial literacy. Okay, it's something, you know, I just kind of jokingly asked your colleague, what do you tell your kids about it? Because it's something you have to learn, right, at some point. We're all going to make mistakes in investing. But just to put a little time and effort into it can make the world of difference in your lifetime.
Absolutely, Anna. Make a world of difference in your lifetime, in your kids' life, in the next generation after that. And what we find is that oftentimes in a lot of families, there's a discomfort in talking about finances and what it can do and the impact that it can have. And so this is the real opportunity with the focus for April being National Financial Literacy Month to really start engaging those conversations. It's interesting. The National Financial Literacy Month really started out from a literacy, financial literacy for youth and children, and realizing, wow, we need to expand that even further to adults and what have you. So here we are, and really excited to be here.
Yeah, you know, it is something I wish we learned a little more in our educational system too, because it just feels as if, you know, it can really pay off or it can really harm you to not know. Perfect example is Giannis. He was very honest about his experiences. He had just made it to the NBA. He sent his first paycheck back home and then got himself into a real bind because he didn't quite understand debit cards and credit cards and having money and not. And here's his, I think we pulled the clip here, right? We've got him telling that story.
I was 18. I didn't have a driver's license when I came, and I took my first paycheck. So I sent it back home, and I went to the ATM, withdraw money, and yeah. I didn't know my card had a limit. So I went into a cab, and I asked to pay with my card, and he's like, "You accept only cash?" And I'm like, "Okay, I have a game in 30 minutes, so I gotta make something happen here." I went to the ATM. I couldn't withdraw money. So I'm like, okay, I have the option. I'm going to wait here, but I'm just going to start running to the arena. So I started running to the arena, and thank God somebody saw me in the cold. I didn't have the coat with me, picked me up, and took me to the game. But this is me. This is a way that I figured everything out. How to open a bank account, how to invest my money, how to get my driver. Like, I figured everything out by myself. Mm-hmm. But thank God I had great people around me to mentor me through all this process, and it's been an awesome journey.
How about that story, John? Really telling.
Totally amazing. Mm. Totally.
And, you know, you just think, okay, here's someone making millions of dollars suddenly and doesn't know that he can't draw out on his debit card, you know, and it just, I guess it doesn't occur to you. You know, you really have to learn these lessons. You know, where's a good place to start, or what can you tell, you know, parents maybe listening about what to do to try to teach these lessons, or maybe learn them ourselves?
No, absolutely. And I think the importance behind learning these lessons impacts so many areas of our lives, including our retirement savings for that home. And it's very, very important that when we think about legacy and what do we leave, and one of the biggest things that we can leave is knowledge, and it's the things that we can do so well that we can pass on. It's not just the dollars and the cents. So I think you start with having a trusting conversation that kind of educates children, the next generation, a little bit in terms of here are some of the basics that you will want to consider. You don't just spend first, but maybe manage your spending, manage your debt. And before you start putting a lot of money into the investment, maybe you may want to consider setting up an emergency fund to make sure that your basic necessities are taken care of, making the distinction between your wants, your needs, your wants, and your wishes, as it were. And so the emergency fund will cover the needs, and then you get to the wants in terms of the added savings. And then after the added savings, then you've got investment. So it's a disciplined approach towards it that also ensure that you want find yourself living month to month, because the slightest little thing that might go bump in the night in your life, you've got the resources there, short-term, intermediate, long-term savings. I think those are some of the lessons that parents can start to impart to their children.
You mentioned retirement, and I do want to get into that because that is one of your specialties. You've got great advice for our listeners on that. And we want to break for traffic and weather, but then we'll get back to John Campbell at Calamos Investments. Americans retiring now are going it alone. This is interesting. They're the first generation to rely on private savings instead of straight pensions to navigate retirement, and how, what you do and how you do it is so important for, you know, how you're going to be in terms of stability later in your life. And you've broken this up a little bit for us in people who are employees and those who are self-employed. You have some advice. Let's start with the employees.
Before starting with the employees, here's some statistics about retirement that I think the listeners will want to know. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, only 58% of working age baby boomers, those ages between 56 and 64, have any kind of retirement account. Now, that figure is about 56% for the next generation. And when you look at Generation X, that figure drops even further to roughly about 49.5% for millennials, as well as for the Z generation. This is one that's of greatest concern. Only 7.7% have any kind of retirement account. So there is a challenge in our economy, in our country, with respect to saving and savings towards retirement. So then in terms of what can be done about it, recently the Congress and the government and the president passed the SECURE Act and SECURE 2.0 Act to address that. It was the biggest overhaul of piece of legislation affecting retirees and retirement accounts than we had seen in generations, well, decades before that. Mm-hmm. And in that, what it does is it facilitates savings, makes it more flexible. It pushes out distributions for required minimum distributions so that money could stay in place a little bit longer, to grow a little bit longer before you have to take it out and then pay taxes on it. So for those who are employees, there are a couple of things that at a minimum they may want to consider. If you work for a company that will match savings set into the qualified plan, at a minimum, at least take advantage of that match. If the company is matching 2%, 3%, 4%, and you put in that 2, 3, or 4%, that's equivalent of almost a 100% return just on that amount of money. And importantly, the money you're setting aside into your qualified plan, you're not being taxed on it. So you get a tax deduction, not a tax deduction, but you get a tax relief with respect to the money that's going in. So these are the things that enhances and builds your savings. Then if you're older, there's a catch-up provision as well. If you're over age 50, you could put in an extra amount. Currently in qualified plans, $7,500, but that's going to go up to roughly about $10,000 in just a couple of years out there. So these are the tools that we want to be aware of, we want to learn about, and we want to take advantage of. And these are the things that I think that a lot of folks, a lot of individuals, surprisingly, are not aware of. And if they are aware of it, they're not taking advantage of it.
Is that tax-free if you're over 50? Can you put more money out of your paycheck into the retirement, your company retirement account?
It depends. If the company has a Roth, then you could put in after-tax dollars into the Roth. If the company has does not have a Roth, but just a traditional qualified plan, you would put it in not so much tax-free, but pre-tax. So you're not paying taxes. You're not putting it in terms of after-tax funds. But when you pull it out, it's taxable as ordinary income, which brings up something very, very important, is that as you think about your retirement, it's important to have more tax-diversified sources of retirement income. This is where, in addition to qualified plans, in addition to your IRAs, it's important to build up a portfolio of investments that's going to be much more tax-aware, where maybe it's a blended rate overall. Some may be ordinary income, some may be capital gains, some may be qualified dividends, and some may also be tax-free. And this is where it's important to work with a qualified investment and wealth advisor.
So are you talking outside of your company's 401k to have some sort of diversification so that you're not just hit with that income?
That's right.
Interesting. So what would be types of investments that you what would fit in some of those buckets?
Well, equity would be one of those buckets. If you hold it for longer than 12 months, you're going to get tax on distribution. If you were to sell it, you're going to get tax long-term capital gain rate, currently 20%, 15 to 20%, depending upon your tax bracket and your earnings, versus something that's going to be in just strictly bonds, that is not a muni bond or something that is otherwise tax-free bonds, you're going to be paying ordinary income. So there's a distinction between capital gains income versus ordinary income, which is at the highest tax rate, and also the kind of income generated from those investments. Interest income typically are going to be taxable as ordinary income, but qualified long-term qualified dividend will typically be taxed as capital gain type income. So these are the things you want to think about, as well as tax-free income and other sources that might generate tax-free income that you can consider.
It's not fun to go through this stuff, but luckily we have people like you. But I mean, and it is important. This is the thing. You don't want to wake up one day and not have considered these things. So do the homework and listen to what you're saying. I would say the other question I had for you is for self-employed.
Yes.
You don't have a 401k. What do you do? What's your advice for those folks who own a business or are self-employed?
Yeah. The wonderful thing about self-employed individuals and owners of closely held businesses is if you've got very, very few employees, you could actually set up a solo 401k plan that allows you to maximize the amount under the law that you could set aside. You could also consider other type of plan, like a simplified employee pension plan, a SEP plan, or a different kind of simple plan that's there. And they'll allow you a much greater amount to set aside than your traditional IRAs. So these are the kind of things that should be considered, should be looked at. And from that perspective, see how that works into your overall long-term retirement needs.
Mm-hmm. What else to know about retirement? I know people, you know, this is a moment when you think, okay, make this the time. We're getting some advice here. Let's do something about it. Actionable items. Anything else you can tell us, John?
No, that's a great question. I think one of the areas of, misunderstanding about retirement is that once you retire, then it's just a single long continuum. And we don't take into consideration that for a male, as an example, at the age of 65, the male has about 18 years of life expectancy ahead of him. For a female, age 65 has roughly about 21 years. So women do live longer than men, which means that at retirement, there's almost 20 years ahead of you. So you think about inflation over that time. You think about rising costs of medical care, lifestyle needs, and the like. So it's really helpful sometimes to think about retirement along this continuum, not just in one continuum, but maybe two or three buckets. And the reason for that is that it allows you to allocate money and invest it differently for each one of those segments. So for instance, typically, right when someone retires, their lifestyle needs doesn't change. They want to do a lot of traveling. They need access to funds, access to capital, and liquidity is there. And so with that in mind, you can have a bucket for that first 5, 7, or 10 years that kind of speak to those needs, available access to money, readily available, and you could still have it invested, but you may not have for that little bucket as much in, if you will, equity. Now, for the next 10 years, that second bucket, now you're 10 to 15 to 20 years out further before you need those funds. That gives you greater optionality in terms of looking at equity investments. And when you do it with a longer view in mind, you're less inclined to think about current market volatility, what's going on today or what's going on this month, because you've got a longer view. And with the longer view, in fact, not only are you making prudent decision over the long view, but you're also taking advantage of opportunities that might arise, because maybe certain companies you're interested in investing in may not be, if you will, they might have had a discount in their valuation, which allows you then to take a look at your portfolio with intentionality and not just run amok, as it were, in terms of behavior finance in the herd mentality, just mm-hmm. out of fear. So this disciplined approach will help. And then, of course, you've got your third bucket. Now you're in the third bucket. You're looking at, how do I invest for 80, you know, age 80 and longer? This is where you start integrating legacy planning and integration with your estate planning, a few other things. But by framing it in these three buckets, it allows you to have something more immediate short term over the next 5 to 10 years, and then longer term, and then develop an asset allocation that reflects each one of those time horizons and each one of those needs, giving your risk tolerance, of course.
Yeah, it requires a lot of planning to get where you need to get, and you're laying it out perfectly and totally understandably. What about tax implications? I know that's something else you work with your clients at Calamos. What, anything we should know, some new things that have come up that we need to have on our radar?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So from a tax standpoint, I think the one thing to recognize, as we mentioned earlier, to the extent you could be more tax aware and integrate taxes with your overall plan, because it's not just what you earn, but it's what you keep at the end of the day. That's going to be very important. But there's one thing that I would have the listeners remind themselves of and think about, and that is under the current tax law, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that was put in place, that will sunset come December 31st of 2025. Come January 1st of 2026, we go back to the old regime, pre-2017. And at that point, especially if any of your listeners have significant business interests, real estate interests, significant wealth that they want to pass on, at that time, the exemption amount that allows you to pass up this year, $12.9 million, will likely be cut in half or somewhere thereabout, adjusted for inflation, which means it's very, very important proactively today, while the window is still there, to take advantage of the large exemption amount to pass on more wealth for the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Lots of stuff to think about, John, and thank you for your insights today. We really appreciate you being here.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.